Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. Captain Patrick Barry, the boater, rounding out the crew as we navigate the latest boating news and information here from the heart of spring break. Yes, we are smack dab in the middle of it here in Florida, and it has started. The kids are in town. They're invading the beaches, and we're avoiding them at all costs by just heading out on a boat and getting off the beaches because they've kind of invaded Florida starting this week and probably for the next few weeks. Would you agree, Barry? How's it down there in South Florida? What do you think?
Well, they've closed Miami Beach pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got all kinds of restrictions up. They're trying to keep go through one spring break without a shooting.
Oh, so, okay. So the bar is pretty low. But
No. I think they've done pretty good so far. The arrests are way down from last year.
Okay.
Right. And people are complaining, of course.
Well, once again, we're a boat show, and our mission here today is to just reassure our the boating public that you have an escape route, which is your vessel.
Just come out
on your boat and get away from shore. You'll be fine.
Watch out for all those people renting those wave runners, though.
Well, once again, go a little further offshore. You probably don't have to mess with them too much. But I have some relatives in town. We're going to check in with my brother-in-law, who is a boater from up north, the Great White North. And he's in town for spring break himself. So we're going to find out what his boating life has been like here in just a bit. But before we do that, we have some other, I don't know, this is going to be a special kind of tip show. Is that right, as far as boating tips are concerned, Patrick, or what? What do you think?
I would not necessarily term it that way.
Okay,
but
it's not a tip. It's advice. It's something you know news you can use. How would you categorize the topic of discussion?
It's just real world. Something that has transpired over the past couple of weeks that I thought would be a good opportunity to kind of go over some basics with this particular subject matter. And just as a reminder, for our listeners out there, those who do boat, especially those who boat in salt water, where the boat is kept in salt water for a considerable period of time, some things to look out for and to be aware of. But I did want to make you guys aware of this.
Okay.
There is occurring on April 11th at the Hollywood Bowl. That would be in California.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
A star-studded tribute concert to the one, the only, Jimmy Buffett.
Aha. Well deserved. I wish I could go. But the ticket sold out in like seconds. It was ridiculous.
I know a guy.
Do you know a guy? Really?
I know a guy.
Well,
but why in California? It really should be down in the Keys.
Well,
because all the good people live in California because spring break is ongoing right now, and everybody knows the spring break motto, sweaty, stupid, and drunk, 2024.
What's a motto with you?
Nobody's coming here.
I don't know. There are probably going to be several concerts, I bet. There'll be one down in Key West, too.
Yeah,
maybe more informal.
None of these people are going to Key West.
No, they go to Key West all the time.
None of these people are going to Key West to go and party. So you've got performances scheduled by the one and only Sir Paul McCartney.
Right.
Really?
Of the... For our younger folk, he was actually in a band called the Beatles before Paul McCartney and Wings.
Okay.
Speaking of which, the Eagles. The Eagles are going to be playing. Beatles and Eagles.
Okay.
And I guess it's just the remaining Eagles. I'd like to know if Joe Walsh is playing. That would be worth it. John Bon Jovi, Zach Brown, Jackson Brown with an E, not related. Brandi Carlile, Kenny Chesney, Eric Church, Sheryl Crow, Scotty Emmerich, who I don't know, Jack Johnson, who I kind of know, Carolyn Jones, don't know, Mark McAnally, no idea.
That's Jimmy Buffett's guy. Patrick. Mark McAnally is like his right hand guy. Come on,
Remember, he doesn't follow Buffett.
I give two rats tails.
Showing your ignorance when it comes to Jimmy Buffett when you say
that's okay.
Like that.
How many kids don't know who the Beatles are?
That's why I had to give that little Pitbull, Jake Shimbakirk.
Forget it.
The Coral Reefer Band, and more special guests. So here's a question for you guys.
Yes.
Let me pick three of these artists. Let's say Paul McCartney. Let's say John Bon Jovi. Pitbull.
Okay.
What songs are they going to cover? Or what song would you see?
They're going to be doing all Jimmy Buffett songs, Patrick.
I know.
As far as I know, Pitbull was always
one of those
record
turners. And there's only two Jimmy Buffett songs in the whole entire world. We all know this.
You're offending so many people right now when you say stuff like that. My God.
I'm not.
And you call yourself
anyone.
A voter.
Yeah, but I don't listen to Pitbull, so I don't know if he.
Well, then what does that have
music.
To do with anything? You know, you know more than two Jimmy Buffett songs. Come on, Barry.
Oh yeah, no. I like Jimmy Buffett songs.
Well, that's what he's asking. What Jimmy Buffett songs should they cover? There's a billion
all
of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, but yeah, you got. They're going to go for the hits, and we all know there's only two.
No, there's more than two.
There's going to be a bloodbath at the Hollywood Bowl, is what I'm saying. Mm. Or is it going to be kind of, you think,
all right, well, look, let's just nip this one in the butt. If you know somebody who has tickets, give them to me, because God knows they would be wasted on you, Patrick. So, my God.
I was just trying to figure out, in serious, what song would you see Paul McCartney covering? What would lend itself to Paul McCartney's style?
For his style?
Monday, maybe.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, that would go right along. That's very Beatlesque.
It's acoustic, kind of like a mellow Beatles song. It is.
All right. Next one, John Bon Jovi. What is it? It's got to be something rocking, right?
Wasted Away in Margaritaville.
Bon Jovi could do it.
It's going to be a 2-hour concert of each artist doing their version of Margaritaville, right?
Which is an hour and 20 minutes, far too long.
That's what
that
Patrick
would
thinks
fantastic.
It would be.
You basically just come out, introduce everybody, and say, good night, everybody!
There are so many great songs that he put out there that I know you have no respect for whatsoever, Patrick, but I'm telling you, he had a deep library, and if you got into Jimmy Buffett at all, and it's almost impossible not to, you know, acknowledge his impact on boating. We had that conversation a month ago, and you brought it up.
That's right.
But I'm just saying, you know, if you want to, you know, have your head in the sand and pretend that he didn't, I think
that
you're fooling
yourself. That was also a song he did.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just boating. It was also just, you know, laying out by the beach underneath a coconut tree and enjoying margaritas and burgers.
Well, it was a lifestyle. It was the part
it
of
was
the
a
boating lifestyle.
Lifestyle. Just chilling out, you know, watching the sunset.
Which he stole from the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the sunrise in the Atlantic and watching the sunset in Florida Bay.
He had a huge impact on selling the whole boating lifestyle. And there was a big article. I think it was Trade Only last month about it and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, but everybody knows this except Patrick. That's fine.
What song? So, kind of a huge crossover for ethnic market. What song does Pitbull cover, and does he do it in Spanish?
Do you see? That's the whole thing. He doesn't sing, does he? Raps.
I don't.
You
even
tell
know.
Me. Wait, what?
I,
you
do
you
not
don't
get
know.
Into
you're
is rapping,
no, I,
singing.
I don't know. I mean, he could take any song he wants. Who says he can't sing? Maybe he's been holding back.
I didn't say
don't
he
be prejudiced,
can't sing.
Barry.
I didn't say that. I said I don't know if he sings. I don't know if he raps. I think he's like, you know, a DJ type, one of those
guys are getting this mixed up into some kind of big performance when really all this is
the
is
Hollywood Bowl is not a big performance.
No, it's a big remembrance for what Jimmy Buffett and his friends have pulled together, and it's kind of like their gift back to the fans. That's what.
Listen,
what
Barry,
doing.
You have to remember. Prior to this conversation, Greg thought the Hollywood Bowl was something that was on the Chili's menu.
It isn't.
It's $6.99 at Chipotle.
$6.99. There's nothing. The Hollywood $6.99 at Chipotle. There's nothing.
Vegetarian, I believe. But you get free guac. All right, we got more coming up on the World of Boating. I promise we're going to talk about boating and how to clean your boat, too. That's next on the World of Boating.
You're You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw, put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Dude, you were right, Carmen. Your Uncle Roy has a sweet boat.
Yeah, and I know what they say. Money can't buy everything. Well, maybe so. But it can buy me a boat.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick Barry, the boat around and at the crew. And look, a clean boat is a better performing boat. That's kind of a rule of thumb, especially when it comes to your hull. And because, you know, less stuff that interferes with the performance as far as, you know, slowing things down, like all that crud that builds up, especially if you have your boat in the ocean, is not good. And so that's kind of, we're going to talk about how to keep your boat clean or why it's important or what exactly, Patrick. What do you think?
I'm going to talk about a real world case having to do with some galvanic corrosion on a set of props.
Hmm.
How about that?
Okay. Sound good.
It does not, because the props, you're talking about twin engine, Volvo Penta DPS drive. So you're talking about four props in total. Stainless, very expensive. So a customer had contacted me at the factory and said, hey, I've got this issue. He's actually the second owner of this boat. The boat spent the majority of its life, or the first year and a half, in freshwater. And then this customer bought it and took it down to Southwest Florida and put it in salt water. Hmm. So he said, I need you guys to write me a check for $3,000 because you guys wired your boat wrong. And I got into the conversation with him back and forth. And he's like, I'd really like to have this conversation on the phone. I said, I need to keep it in the email because these are the questions that I need to have answered. Because, first of all, you had an electrician, supposedly a ABYC certified marine electrician, come out to your boat and separated all the grounds into bonds on your boat, created a separate bonding system, looped those bonds, and that's incorrect. So we had a discussion about that. He said, no, you need to contact the electrician. I said, I'm not contacting your electrician. I'm telling you, right, you need to put the boat back, the wiring the way it was, because it is done to ABYC specs. And the issue that you're reporting, I have not had reported on any other stern drive 36, 38, anything through our product line from 20 feet on up.
How old boat are we talking again?
About a year and a half old.
Really?
Wow, it's pretty new.
Pretty new.
Yeah.
So one of the big questions I asked him was, you know, your boat stays in salt water. He goes, yes. I said, did you have the hull painted? He said, yes, I did. I said, okay, did they also paint the transom assemblies and the outdrives? I don't know. I said, did they leave a 1.5-inch border or barrier around all the metal fittings on the boat? I don't know. Did they paint any of the other metal fittings? I don't know. So as this exchange went back and forth, a couple emails, he grew a little frustrated. And he said, what I need you to do is you need to contact the people that did the work on my boat. And you need to ask them these questions. Now I got him on the phone and I said, I'm not doing that, Mr. Customer. I did not contract with these people. Okay. It's not my job to call them and find out what they did to your boat. I'm telling you, when the boat left the factory, especially based on the millivolt readings that you're providing, that's within spec, that's within range, mate, that our wiring was correct.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not understanding. Well, my diver said, I said, I don't care what your diver said. You know, I'm telling you, this is based on the information you gave me. This is factual. So eventually he gave the service yard permission to speak with me. I talked with a nice young lady there. And first thing she said is, we paint everything below the waterline unless otherwise directed by the customer.
Ooh.
And I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I said, okay, so that means you painted all the metal fittings, aluminum, stainless, Nibril. You painted the transom assemblies. You painted the stern drives. She goes, yes, we did. I said, did you leave a 1.5-inch border around it? She couldn't answer that. I said, I need to know what you painted the stern drives and the transom assemblies and the metal fittings with. So she provided a list, a breakdown of the thing. And yes, there was primer used. And technically, yeah, can you paint metal fittings with the same bottom paint that's being used on the hull bottom? According to Pettit, yes, you can, but they have a specific process and specific product that they want you to use, namely their product. But I have never done that. Whenever I've painted, especially aluminum, so you're talking about transom assemblies and stern drives, I've always, after having my team sand and properly prime, then use a bottom paint specifically for aluminum or metal, such as Alumacoat. That's not an advertisement for Alumacoat. That's just telling you, I'm going to stick with a product that was made specifically for this application. You know why? Because if I don't get the primer correct, I've got the correct bottom paint, at least, and I don't have to worry about creating a galvanic cell. And that's what happens when we get metal-based bottom paint in contact with aluminum or stainless or anything like that. That's why you keep the border around those fittings. So as this evolved, and I know I'm going to get way technical here for Greg, Barry, probably Volvo Pent in particular, has their own galvanic corrosion system. Okay. So on the underside of the transom assembly, there's a module. It's black plastic. Okay. And also on the underside of the transom assembly is a sacrificial anode.
Right.
Now, if they just went, and I'm pretty sure that they did, just went and flopped primer and paint over these things, guess what? This ACP system, this active corrosion protection system that Volvo Penta has designed specifically for galvanic corrosion for their product is not working.
Mm-hmm. No, they've isolated it.
Shorted it out.
It's not active.
It's not doing its job.
Yeah. Why are they even, why did the customer, why were they even painting it in the first place? It was only because a year and a half old.
Because it stays in salt water. So if it's going to stay in salt water, you know, you can do the whole bottom is one thing, but if you don't do the stern drives and the transom plates and any of the other metal that's going to be in water, you're going to get an increased rate of barnacle growth.
Growth, yeah.
Like that on it. And you want to keep that at bay, unless you're hiring a diver and is going to come out there every couple of weeks and scrape all that gunk, you know, off those metal fittings.
Mm-hmm.
So more questions than not. And at the end of the exchange of emails and information, you know, I had to let the customer know that I believe you're going to find that the issue that you had is not related to the way the boat was built or wired. It has to do with this. And I laid it out for him as clear as I could, which of course he wants to go after the people with the deeper pockets, which is the manufacturer. And now he's going to have to turn his attention to the service yard. But here's the thing, especially for our listeners, when you're contracting with a service yard to do work like that, it is up to you, because their fallback is going to be, we paint everything unless otherwise directed by the customer. So it is, they're basically saying it is the customer's responsibility to let us know, it's their boat, what does and does not need to be painted below the waterline.
So two things. First of all, when you have a boat in freshwater versus saltwater, don't people usually change the anodes to a different material?
Excellent question, Barry. Okay. So when we look at the sacrificial table of metals, you know, magnesium, zinc, beryllium are the first three. Those are the, that's why your sacrificial anodes are usually going to be a magnesium or a zinc.
Right. That's the same makeup of my cold medicine, by the way. And I've yet to get a cold all year. So
first
far.
Time he's been funny in years.
More coming up. Stay close to the World of Boating.
Listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Do you have a message or product you need to share with the boating world? Well, look no further than the World of Boating Radio Show. Just like you, thousands of boating enthusiasts are hearing this message, and we could be talking about you and your product or service as early as next Saturday. Remember, a terrible thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Go to worldofboating.com, send us an email, and let's get to work to make your marketing message matter.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce. And now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the one.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Well, I'm on the Downeaster, Alexa. And I'm cruising through Block Island Sound. But tonight I am Nantucket bound.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick Barry, the boater. We're going to be joined by my brother-in-law, Brian, here in just a bit. We'll get his thoughts on boating up north. And I don't know, he's probably dealt with some of these barnacle issues, even though I think he's mostly a freshwater boater. We'll see how he feels about that. But, you know, if you got stuff growing on your props faster than they are supposed to, you could be in big trouble. It could be a major problem. And, you know, this guy who came to you, Patrick, was it kind of too late to salvage these things?
Well, it's not a matter of growth on the props at that point. What it is a matter of stray electrical current attacking the props and actually more or less burning holes through the blades. And what I told the customers, you've got something else going on. It doesn't have anything to do with the boat itself because, one, we know it was wired correctly, grounds and bonds. We know that Volvo Penta has their own active corrosion protection system. And when we look at the sacrificial table of metals, we're looking at the least noble. That's what we're talking about is noble metals. And that has nothing to do with royalty. So the least noble or the least susceptible to corrosion, magnesium, zinc, beryllium, then we go right into aluminum alloys. So it's a quick jump from the your sacrificial anodes that are made of magnesium or zinc right to the aluminum alloys. And stainless is listed twice, one behind the other, as you go further up the table to the most noble metals, and you have your different grades of stainless. And it's a huge jump from aluminum to stainless. So why this customer, it was attacking his stainless props and not going after his anodes, not going after his aluminum casing, not going after his trim tabs, not going after the platform support brackets. These were all red flags to me. And, you know, he felt, I believe, that I was, you know, trying to put him off and, you know, not assume any type of responsibility or liability as a manufacturer. And what I explained to him is I'm actually trying to help him understand that there's something else going on with his boat that has, one, you need to put the wiring back the way it was. And two, you need to look at these other things, because if these other things were done, if it was, and we already know it was bottom painted with regular bottom paint that you would use on the hull, that if that being done, were borders left, and even with that, if the drives were done, and they were bottom painted, and now you've got stainless props that are up against that bottom paint, what are we doing? We're creating a galvanic cell. So that's where the conversation has left off. But for, again, for our listeners, just be aware that if you're contracting with a yard to do this type of work, their fallback, their get out of jail free card, or we don't have to pay for any damage card, is going to be, we paint the entire hull bottom unless otherwise directed by the customer. So it's incumbent upon you to know your boat, how the wiring bonding system is set up, what kind of drives you have, what kind of transom assembly, if you have an active corrosion protection system, what your through-hull fittings are made of. Do you have a transducer that's an actually mounted through the hull transducer, which you never, ever paint? Things like that. Know your boat, because at the end of the day, it's going to be your responsibility.
Mm-hmm. You're the one who's going to end up paying the bill.
If that, in this case, he's probably going to wind up, again, he needs to rewire the boat back to original spec, and then he can go after the service yard. But yeah, I don't think that he's going to have a leg to stand on. Because, again, their get-out-of-jail-free card is, we paint the entire bottom, and I'm pretty sure they probably put that in their contract, that, you know, we paint the entire bottom from the waterline down, unless you otherwise tell us, you know, where not to paint.
Right. But once again, why did he have to rewire? Why did that become an issue? I know. So why did he mess with it? What was the deal?
Because the electrician that went to the boat set came in board, and he said, hey, these guys have got grounds and bonds together. Mm-hmm. On the same terminal block, that's against ABYC regulations. And it's not. You have to understand the way the boat is wired and why it's wired that way. It's in full compliance. And if by chance, and again, on the manufacturers, and this is every boat manufacturer out there, to be compliant with ABYC and NMMA and get your certification to be able to, you know, your NMMA plate, that you're yacht certified or you're certified for a certain capacity, it's also making sure that you've abided by and you adhere to these rules and regulations when it comes to the way the boat needs to be manufactured, not just like with flotation foam and stuff like that, but also the electrical system.
Right. So the electrician he had wasn't necessarily marine savvy. Barry, what do you think?
If this boat had been in the water for a year and a half up north somewhere in freshwater, it should have showed some kind of damage or issue going on. They would have called you right away. So the fact that it came down here and went into salt water,
it's possible, but freshwater up here, you know, in Central Florida, it was probably in and out, kept in a dry stack, versus then when you go down to salt water. And you have to remember salt water, okay, the conductivity and salt versus fresh as well. Mm-hmm. And more likely than not, when we talk about freshwater, which, you know, Greg's brother-in-law, Brian, may have some insight on that, is what I found it when we have straight current issues there is usually directed from the marina,
the electrical,
or the dock
system. Yes.
And not so much having anything to do with the water itself.
Okay.
Well, let's ask Brian. He is a freshwater boater, I think. Right, Brian?
Yes, I am.
And you would, I mean, does any of this stuff make sense to you? Have you had problems with, you know, stuff attaching to your bottom end? I mean, boat. Just for the
phrasing,
not yet. I mean, it's like I actually just had my boat bottom paint repainted again this year.
Yeah.
So with the
proper kind of you got a marine boating paint guy who knew what he
marina did.
He didn't paint over your anodes,
or
hemorrhoids.
Actually, I had the anodes checked this year, and he gave me the thumbs up. Those are good.
That was your doctor or the painter?
That was actually the
or both.
Both.
I like it. Okay. Well, I mean, so it is something you got to pay attention to.
Yeah.
For sure. So, I mean, how often are you having someone inspect your bottom of your vessel?
Well, that's the nice thing about, you know, being up there. The boats come out of the water every year, so it's easy to take a look at, see what's going on.
Yeah.
And so I just figured it was probably time. It's like this, the current boat I have, I've had for going on 3 years now. So
right.
I figure, you know, about every 3 years, you kind of, you know, they're good for a couple of years. Touch up bottom paint every year, you know, kind of look things over. But
right. All right. So the time frame is a little bit shorter than like colonoscopies and things. Like that's usually 5 to 10 years when you're over 50. Yep. But you probably want to do it every 3 years, at least at the least.
Well, kind of rule of thumb up there.
What do you think, Patrick?
Yeah. Well, the boating season up in the north, you know, where we have the luxury of being able to boat year round, and up north, you know, they're maybe 4 months at best. Boat winds up staying more in storage than it does getting used. So those things down here, it's always advisable. You know, you have to remember the warmer the water and the less water movement, possibly the faster the rate of growth. So on a yearly basis, your boat should be getting pulled anyway, because you're about time to do your maintenance on your drives, whether that's IPS or you have stern drive. And while the boat's out of the water, just don't have them pressure wash the bottom and then roll a coat of paint on it. You want them to pressure wash, obviously, and then light scuff and then bottom paint so that you're ready for the upcoming season, because bottom paint is going to lose its effectiveness over time.
Yeah. I mean, once again, it applies to your bottom end of your boat and your bottom end of maybe yourself. We're going to focus on more positive boating things next on The World of Boating.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network. Successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with The World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
We're going to hop on a boat and we're going to get out on the ocean. I mean, that's the only place we can be sure there's no radioactive schniz.
Neil's right. It's our only move.
Does anyone know how to drive a boat?
Don't let me mix you up a redneck margarita. You know the one, just straight tequila. Good Lord. All aboard. Come on, jump on the booze crew.
This is The World of Boating. Gregor, first mate, Captain Patrick, Barry the Boater, and my brother-in-law, Brian, in town, spring break. And, you know, he has a boat up there in the waters of Michigan. 35-footer, is that right, Brian?
That's correct.
All right. So what kind of boat is it?
It's a 340 Sea Ray Sundancer.
Nice. Okay. And you've had it for how long now? Was this the first season you had this one?
No, this is actually, I'm going on my third season.
Third season.
Boat, yeah.
But the bottom is?
It's freshly painted.
And looking good.
Looking good.
Painted by a reputable bottom painter.
Yeah.
Yeah? So you're good. You don't have any of those node issues that Patrick was talking about, as far as you know?
I have not seen it, but I'm hoping not, yeah.
Okay. Well, how often were you? Well, it's out of the water right now, right?
Right. It's in storage right now, coming out in maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'll get to see it. Actually, I'm going to go. When I head back home, I'm actually going to stop up to Marina and check it out.
Okay.
So, because I've had a couple other things done.
Yeah. So, I mean, when they take it out for dry dock for the season, I mean, you have it cleaned up then, don't you? And then it goes into storage in a rack somewhere for a few months?
Yep. They just park it on the floor.
Yep. All right. Well, yeah, on the, was it on a trailer or is it?
No, it's just sitting on blocks inside the building.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those. All right.
You can't even walk between the boats. It's so crowded.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they,
you can't do nothing on them.
It's premium time for winter storage, but it's coming out of storage. Right. What did you have done over the off season?
Well, I outside I had the bottom painted, and I had a little bit of Isinglass replaced. So I'm hoping that came out good.
Okay, and so 35 footer is this thing? You could live on this. I know you stay on it overnight.
I spend every weekend on it.
Yeah, and the main waterway that you use up there in Michigan is what?
It's I'm located in Grand Haven.
Yeah.
Which we have, connects to a couple of different lakes, right along with Lake Michigan.
Okay. So you just cruise around there.
We cruise depending on, the weather on Lake Michigan can be rough sometimes. So you just hang out on the river or in Spring Lake.
In the protected areas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, protected
waterways. Crank up the Jimmy Buffett music.
That's right.
See? It even happens in Michigan. Yeah. See? Go figure there, Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So question for Brian. So you got a Sea Ray, so I'm going to imagine you're probably MerCruiser powered.
It's their V8 7.4 liter.
Wow.
Stern drive.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Inboard.
Yeah, inboards. Yeah. He's got a hardcore monster going.
I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
Yeah.
So inboard, so shaft V-drive.
Yeah, V-drive. That's what the word I was for.
Okay. And so how fast can this vessel go?
She cranks out 32 miles an hour.
Look out! All right. Well, that's good cruising speed. That's fast enough.
If that was a stern drive version, add 10 mile an hour right off the top.
But I would give up that 10 miles an hour just for the V drive.
Yeah. But you're not water skiing off the back of this thing.
Oh,
right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
This is just a cruiser.
I could pull a tube, but but no water skiing.
All right. So you got
that boat being V drive and somewhat familiar with the Sea Ray product. Is that split controls, or are you at a single dual binnacle? Do you have two shift, two throttles?
Is it idiot proof, is it it's traditional?
Yep, two throttles.
Okay, it's a traditional.
See, that's a real boat there. One that you got to know, you got to practice. That's what I grew up on. That's what I trained customers.
You just won Patrick over there, Brian.
All right.
Look at that!
No, listen. Take your joysticks and your automated docking
give them to
and
me.
All that. But when you get into split controls, especially when it comes into docking and close quarter maneuvering, and you've got somebody who really, when they can move that boat, that's somebody who knows their boat and spent time practicing. And
so can you do the Captain Ron thing when you're coming in from a day of boating and just turn off the motor and have it swing around into the slip?
I haven't tried that yet. But
now you have a mission once you get back home.
It seems like up there is like the wind is not your friend.
Yeah, but
seems like the wind blows nonstop.
You just Captain Ron it. I mean, you've got the perfect size vessel. That was about a 30-something footer on that movie when he did that. And I was like, wow, that is a hardcore captain right there.
Yeah.
That's the kind of captain I want to be. Yeah, that was skill, man. He just turned off the motor and cruised right into the dock and, just kissed the bumper perfectly.
You know, he wasn't a real person, right?
No, it's Kurt Russell. He's real. Don't feed me that nonsense. But anyway, so what do you typically do on the boat? Just cruise around and lounge and just enjoy the lifestyle? Are you fishing? Are you doing what exactly?
If I take the boat out, which I try to do every day, I depend on the weather. It's like Lake Michigan be kind of rough sometimes.
Yeah.
So, we'll take a cruise to the end of Spring Lake, turn around, come back, take a cruise out to the lighthouse if the Lake Michigan's rough.
Right.
If it's nice, you could take a run up to Muskegon, Ludington, Holland, lots of places to cruise.
Yeah, you're just taking in the scenery and just the fresh air out on the lake and that kind of thing.
Yeah, anchor out off the beaches, some of the beaches up there are some great places to anchor out.
Have you made the run across the lake yet over to the Chicago side, Burnham Harbor,
Milwaukee. Oh, that's fun. Milwaukee is straight across from Grand Haven.
How long would it take you?
How long? Yeah.
About a 4-hour cruise in my boat.
Oh, that's not bad. So you haven't done any overnight things or trips along the areas there?
I have not yet. So I have thought about it.
Right.
So
But you've stayed on it overnight.
I spend every Friday, Saturday night on my boat. It's the only place I'd rather be on the weekends.
Yeah, but you just have it docked up and stay there overnight and then go out for the day.
Yep, kind of straight in the mirror.
Sounds like fun. I like it.
Yeah.
I've heard these stories on the phone. for years. And Brian says, yeah, Greg, you got to come up. Yeah. I know you do this World of Boating show. You know, those two guys, bring them up with you. I'm like, no, I can't do that. No way.
Yeah.
But I'll come up one of these days.
Yeah, he's,
Brian,
he's got,
don't let him on your boat.
He's got,
do not let it, you'll never get rid of him.
What do you mean?
He'll expect
Ask Mary.
He'll expect concierge service.
Yep.
Well, that's what Brian does.
On the pillow. Yeah.
You wouldn't expect anything out of me if I was on the boat, would you, Brian?
He probably wouldn't be able to do the radio show anymore because he'd want to be up in Grand Haven every
Well, we'd do it from Brian's boat. So, that would be the ultimate studio, floating studio right there. Sure. What's the name of your boat?
Finally.
Finally. There you go. That's pretty good.
It took me several years to work up to the boat, but I think I finally made it.
I like it. Was that what it was called That's when you bought it, or did you name
No, I named it Finally.
Did you go through the whole thing where you got to go through the superstitious stuff?
No, I didn't do that.
What?
I don't believe in superstitions.
I can't go on your boat, Brian. I'm sorry. I don't want to die.
No, because he's a sane, sensible boater.
Yeah, you're supposed to sacrifice a monkey or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Well, you got Greg's monkey heart. You could do that.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, the guy I bought it from, he wanted to keep the name. He says, because he was, I guess, I don't know if he wanted to get another boat, but it's a family name. So he says, you care if I just keep the name and take the name off? I go, nah, it's fine.
Yeah. So the original name was Titanic?
No, I think it was like some.
Okay.
Don't say it. Uncle, it's like saying Beetlejuice too many times. Don't do it.
What?
Uncle something.
Beetlejuice.
All right, we'll just leave that alone. Yeah, there's all the. You got to watch that stuff, Brian. You don't want to tempt fate, do you?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
He's doing it fine by being on this show.
Well, he kind of screwed himself by appearing on the World of Boating today. That is true.
The Boating Gremlins will be out now.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for sharing, Brian.
Hey,
it's good
no
to see you.
Yeah,
and next time, maybe we'll have him, do the show from his boat.
Yeah, we'll get Greg to come to the show from my boat.
And that invitation does not go to Captain Patrick or Barry.
Brian, if he doesn't come back from his cruise, that's perfectly fine.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's enough out of you guys. On that note, we're going to wrap it up for this week. Till next time, remember, whether it is sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.